My beloved brothers and sisters in Israel's glorious hope, in the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah the prophet, he wrote to those of Israel, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. There is no knowledge of God in them. Yet we find 700 years odd later, when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene as predicted by the prophets, Israel as a nation were in such darkness they failed to recognize their Messiah among them. John tells us the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. They were not walking in the laws and the precepts which God gave them by the hand of Moses to walk in, but they were walking in the traditions of men. Jesus said of them, "You can read the sky to tell the weather, but you cannot discern the signs of the times in which you live." They failed to see by the word of the prophets that judgment was about to come upon the nation unless they altered their ways. John in the wilderness warned them of the consequences of their evil way. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel record, chapter 3 and verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. That God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every one which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Because they had gone away from the laws and precepts of Yahweh, Israel's way of life, their desires, were as the world around them. And yet they still believed that because they were Jews, children of Abraham, they would receive the blessings promised to Abraham and his seed. Instead of being in a state of expectancy and watchfulness, they were carrying on as the world around carries on, concerned only with the things of this present life. The Apostle Peter in his epistle speaks of those who mocked when told of the coming judgment, and said, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." Nothing's changed from creation. All is carrying on. The Apostle Paul said of them, they were willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Therefore, he predicted, the predicted judgment came upon them unawares as a thief in the night and took away them all. took away their nation, their temple, and all the people. All things had not continued as they were from the creation. Yahweh had done wonderful works for them. He had brought them out of the land of bondage, had placed them in a land flowing with milk and honey, and had blessed them above all nations upon the earth. Yet though he blessed them, the more they hardened their hearts and followed the ways of the flesh. What a terrible thing to happen to a nation to whom such blessings had been bestowed upon, and with such a glorious hope before them. When we consider these things and the terrible consequences which fell upon Israel through their folly, should not we too, who have been grafted into that olive tree, that good olive tree, beware lest we too come under the same condemnation? Turn with me to the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 11 and verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, for inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. But be not high-minded, but fear. But fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Thou also shalt be cut off. It is a timely warning, is it not, brothers and sisters, for us who have been granted in to that good olive tree. For once again, the Lord is going to come in judgment, as he did in AD 70. But not this time just upon Israel of the flesh, but upon all the earth. Upon all the earth. And the Apostle Peter in yesterday's reading said, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, brethren and sisters, this is what Peter said. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner appear? The warning is, brethren and sisters, that as Israel of the flesh were willingly ignorant, so can we be. If we let the things around us dull our senses to the things that matter. We can be very knowledgeable today. We live in a day of knowledge and education. With all the education of means and learning there is, we can become very wise in the things of the flesh and know many aspects of this life which our forefathers were ignorant of. But we can be taken up with it. We can be taken up with it to the detriment of the truth. It can no doubt be argued, truthfully argued, that the children of Israel needed the knowledge of the weather. When Jesus said you can read the sky, it can be argued that they wouldn't need the knowledge of the weather, because they needed to know the weather for sowing, for planting. And if they wished to travel, they hadn't buses and cars like we have. They would need to know the weather before they would do these things. Just as it might be said that we in our generation need the knowledge of many things for our well-being in the days in which we live. But the point the Lord was showing in those days of his ministry was that they were so taken up with these things, these mundane things, they had dulled their senses to the important things concerning their salvation. We all need this knowledge, as Israel needed the knowledge of the weather. But they can dull our senses to the things that really matter. And these things can have a great effect upon us. The Lord Jesus on another occasion said regarding food and dress, etc. He said, all these things do the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. We can't walk about naked. We need dress and we need food or we would die. But said the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We must, in other words, get our priorities right. We must get our priorities right. All these concerns are human. Everyone has their worries, but they must not dull our senses regarding the important things of the truth and our salvation. It is true, our minds must be at all times, not just on weekday meetings or Sundays. Our minds must be on the fact that judgment is about to fall upon the earth. We are nearer that time than any other generation upon earth. We are living in the dawn of a new age. But we can be dulled by the things around us. We can become willingly ignorant. We need to be in a state of watchfulness and expectancy. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday meeting nights, but during the week when we are in our work, when we are in our houses and walking round. We need to be reminded time and again that that time of judgment is about to dawn. These things we have read this morning, brothers and sisters, have been kept on record for our benefit. They have been written, as the Apostle Paul tells us, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope in the time of trouble. One of the first things the Lord Jesus taught was that we are to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, he said, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be who go in thereat. It is the narrow way we have to walk. looking straight ahead as runners agonizing to win a race, or the ploughman making a straight furrow. Neither can afford to look back or concern themselves of what is going on around them, which could dull their senses to the work before them. It is a fact, is it not, brothers and sisters, that if we are walking in a narrow place, the view, the only view really, is the object in front of us. Because we are in such a narrow place, the view, the object, is only in front. If we say we are walking in the way, that narrow way, then truly our eyes must be on the prize before us. If we are aware and concerned of the things around us, we are not on the narrow way. We have broadened our horizons. We have broadened our horizons to the things about us, which can only impede our progress. We are exhorted, as was Israel on leaving Egypt, to watch with our loins girded about with truth. The loins girded meant ready for going, walking, and running, and working. With the loins girded about with truth, working in the truth. And as the Apostle Paul exhorts us in his letter to the Ephesians, having on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need the all-armour of God, that we might overcome and be found accepted at the day of our Lord's return. We are to be filled with the Spirit word, and letting our lights shine before men, realizing that of our own strength we are unable to overcome the impulses of the flesh, which leads us astray from the path of life. It is impossible for us to overcome these impulses by our own strength and willpower. We need the word of God. This was the appeal to Israel, which we read in Isaiah 8, when the prophet said, if they speak not according to this word, the living word, there is no life in them. There is no life in them, and if there's no life in us, we are dead. So if we haven't got that within us, we are dead. That is what the prophet is telling us. But Israel failed to heed the warning of the prophets which Yahweh sent among them. For a little while, Hezekiah, in his faith, held back the doom that was to come upon Israel. But once again, Israel went back into their own ways, and they were taken captive to Assyria, to Babylon. Isaiah, in his 55th chapter, calls out to everyone who hath ears to hear, everyone who thirsteth for knowledge, not the knowledge of the things of the flesh, but of Yahweh, to come and to buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. But only few responded to the invitation. Only few responded to the invitation. And so it was in the day of the Lord Jesus, when he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. only few responded. Turn to the Gospel according to John in chapter 6. And verse 24. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, Jesus that Paul had fed them, he had fed them and had gone away from them across the water. And when the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because he saw the miracles, but because he did eat of the loaves and were filled. They grasped the things of this life. Jesus said, Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. But that axe which John spoke of, which would come upon the root of the trees, came down with all its force upon them, and they were taken away in AD 70 to Rome. All things have not continued as they were from the beginning of creation. Yahweh had given to Israel and to all those who believe and have faith in his word a glorious hope through the Lord Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. But how easy do the things around us blind us to the things of the truth? How often do we labor over things of this present life as if they were going to go on forever? Just like the world. Speak of their cars, speak of their houses, speak of their holidays, speak what they're going to do next year as if it's going to go on forever. How often do we labor over the present things of this life as if they were going to go on forever? How often do we worry and fret over things which in fact are of no avail? All perish with the using. All perish with the using. The moth and the rust corrupt and they're gone. In our readings for yesterday, shall we turn to 1 Peter in chapter 1, our readings for yesterday. Here Peter shows the only thing that abides. Verse 22. Seeing then ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. And we have been to the hospital, and we have seen people there who have been, had good positions in life, and we've seen poor people who have just been housewives. They are all leveled off as one. Whatever they have been in the past, they are leveled off as one and will go the way of all the earth. For all flesh, says Peter, is as grass. And the glory of man, whatever he has been in this life, as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, and here's the point, the exhortation for us, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. It shows that the only abiding thing is the Word of God. Brother Crowcott, in B.E. Transformed, said, "What glorious possibilities were opened to Israel, a holy nation, a chosen people, a sanctified vessel to whom God had drawn marvelously near, and through whom he had condescended to reveal himself to mankind. But how miserably they failed. How miserably they failed. What prolonged distress and wretchedness could have been avoided if they had only hearkened to the gentle voice of instruction, speaking as a father to his children. What useless sorrow, just because they would not learn. Did they voluntarily and consciously choose the path of self-destruction? Or did it overtake them without warning from behind as the accumulated consequence of deeper and deeper self-deception and neglect? To the very last moment, they did not see the blow falling. Till the very last moment, they did not see the blow falling. Each increasingly ominous portent of disaster found them further blinded by the perverted fleshly exhilaration of a still lower descent into abomination and rebellion against God. The whole trouble, says Brother Crowcott, lay in their perception. What led them astray were the natural motions of the flesh. But, he says, everyone has them. Everyone has them. A man is not helpless slave to his flesh in any respect, unless he chooses to be. Unless he chooses to be. There is always available, says Brother Crowcott, an inexhaustible supply of divine power, if a man will only accept it to help himself. But sometimes, he says, we are not very anxious to get rid of our idols. And how true that is. We are not very anxious to get rid of our idols. And after a few half-hearted attempts at a concession to our conscience, we find it easy to convince ourselves it can't be done. It can't be done. How true, brothers and sisters. How true the words of Brother Crowcott. And he said the answer to the problem is recorded for our learning. Fear God and keep his commandments, remembering that the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. The remedy then to the problem is knowledge, divine knowledge, keeping our minds in the knowledge of Yahweh and his word. That this is obvious, brothers and sisters, we only have to go to the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. It was only they that had oil in their vessels with their lamps. Only those that were filled with the word. Those who were wise in their day and generation, who went with the Lord into the marriage feast. Those who had bought that milk and honey of which Isaiah spoke of, which was without money and without price, free for us to take, and who followed it with their, and guarded it with their lives. May we, brethren and sisters, be as those wise virgins who had oil in their lamps, holding fast that word of truth. The parable of the five wives and foolish virgins stands for all generations, For it is only those filled with the Spirit word who remain awake in the night of Gentile times who shall go forth with their Lord. Of the others, he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. They were not his sheep. And he knew they weren't his sheep because they heeded not his voice. Were they his sheep, they would have heard his voice and followed him and listened to him. But they were not his sheep because when he spoke to them, they listened not. Brother Grocott said, regarding the foolish of Israel, to the very last moment, they did not see the blow falling. And Brother Roberts, regarding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, says, he comes, as we read in the Apocalypse, as a thief in the night. The Gentile night, when the world at large are unconscious of what is going on, dreaming away as if life is going to go on forever and ever. And this is true regarding this world, is it not? They do not want to wake up to reality. Speak to them of the things of God and the judgment that are coming upon the earth. And they don't want to know. They don't want to know. They rather live in their dreams, willingly ignorant. Regarding the parable of the thief in the night, had they been awake, the calamity would have been avoided. But they were asleep. Brother Robert says, that should be the state that you and I are in. For the Apostle Paul says, we are not asleep as do others. We are of the day, those awake to the fact that any moment our Lord may return. I'd like to close, brothers and sisters, with a few little words. It is a sobering thought, is it not, that there might not be a memorial meeting here next Sunday. There might not even be a Bible class next Wednesday, for the Lord may have returned. Where will you and where will I be then? May we consider these things that we read this morning, for that day is about to dawn. Will it catch us unawares? Or will be ready and waiting.
If you'd like me to thank Brother Arthur for those sobering words of exhortation which need to be considered by us all, because he has rightly said, no man knoweth neither the season nor the time when the Lord shall reappear. And so our duty is now to make sure that we are watching and making ourselves ready. Before then we partake of the emblems, let us further prepare by the singing of hymn 75. A great high priest is come, who stands in Aaron's place, who, honouring the law, established life and grace. The law through Moses' service came, but grace and truth by Jesus' name. Hymn 75.